Welcome to episode 2 of the Cup of Tri Triathlon podcast with Coach Rob Wilby and Helen Murray. Hello there and welcome to episode 2. Hope you're well. Helen, how are you doing today?
I'm much better, thank you very much. Rob, how's it going with you?
I am much improved as well. The illness is on its way out. I've been having sniffly, crusty nose and, yeah, just not been well at all.
I think it's been going around. I think everybody's had it.
Yeah. And we got Ofsted at school.
Oh, no!
Second to last week, in come Ofsted. Thanks very much for that.
At least it wasn't last week.
Yeah, well, that's...
See the positive side of it. You can now enjoy, I'd like to think.
I'd have brought in Connect Four and Battleships for my GCS. So, that'd have gone down dead well, wouldn't it?
That would have been a classic. That would have been really, really good. But yeah, tonight, Rob, on the episode 2 of the podcast, we are going to be... You've been speaking with Ellie Hairsign, haven't you?
That's right. I had a great old chat with her. She was down in Knutsford having a video swim analysis done. So I caught up with her after she'd had a swim analysis done. And we had a very interesting chat, actually. Really cool girl, really hard worker. She's turned pro this year, but she's still working 3 days a week. So today she'd got up at 5 to drive over from Yorkshire to do the swim analysis. And then she was having a couple of meetings and driving off somewhere else as well. So... dead interesting to talk to somebody who's, you know, trying to race as a pro, but has also got the pressure of making a living from working still, essentially. Yeah.
Wow. So
get to that interview a little bit later on. So tell us, what have you been up to this week?
This week, Rob, I've just been getting pretty much ready for Christmas and then back on the training because I had a bit of a cold last week. So, back on the training. Now, I was thinking winter training as a coach, Rob, it's difficult sometimes when all the days are getting so short and it's dark and it's cold outside. And with Christmas coming up later this week, what are your top tips for actually getting that training done over Christmas?
Well, it's a big challenge, I think, for everybody, isn't it, really? There's the difficult balance of the home life and the training life. And there's a temptation to either take some complete time off and do nothing at all, or try and use some of that time that you've got when you're off work to try and get some training done. And I think it's down to the individual athlete, really, what they do. My big temptation at this time of year is just to try and get people to ride outside if they possibly can. The weather being as it is at the moment, we've got snowstorms in certain parts of the country. But the first thing I would say is, if you get a chance to get an outside ride in during the week, take it. If it's not icing, it's not dangerous, get out there for a ride.
Is that a mental thing, or do you think that it's just better to get outside miles in your legs rather than being on a turbo?
Well, I think the two things have both got the benefits to them, but if you can get outside to get out in the fresh air, we have such a limited training opportunities, most of us. It's basically either Saturday or Sunday, isn't it, to get out for an outdoor ride during the week. And if the weather's been bad at a weekend, then it might be that you go 2 or 3 weeks without riding outside. And as much as we love the turbo, we have the temptation to go a little bit nuts if we have to be on it all the way through the winter. So even just a social ride outside with your friends and get 3 or 4 hours in, I think, is a great little Christmas bonus. Now, that being said, you know me, Helen. You know I like to coach people on the turbo. In fact, Hamish was telling me today that he's got himself a new one. He's got one of those direct drive turbo trainers.
What does that mean in plain English?
It means it hasn't got a back wheel on, believe it or not.
Oh.
So the turbo comes, instead of like the roller thing that goes against the wheel, it's got a built-in cassette where the flywheel should be.
So it wouldn't bust your back wheel?
It wouldn't bust your back wheel.
Uh-huh.
You're putting out the kind of fearsome power numbers that you do, that the wheels get broken in the YH.
Is it noisy? Is it still as noisy? Will you be waking the neighbours up if you go on it at 6:30 in the morning?
Well, no, he was raving about it. He was saying, I've definitely made the right decision. I've got this quiet turbo and it's brill. So he's made up, man. He's going to be in the garage all through Christmas now.
Lucky him. So, right, for people who maybe they don't have a turbo, they can't get out on their bikes, what about the running side of training over Christmas? What would you suggest? is it all right if we go for a little run on Christmas Day, or would you just say, you know what, forget it, have Christmas Day off, enjoy it, get out there on Boxing Day?
Well, I have run every Christmas Day since I was 11. That's just my crazy father. Thanks, Dad. But we always saw it as a nice thing to do. We always, right when I was very young, we used to run up the road for a couple of miles and see my grandma on Christmas Day and then jog back down again. So I really like getting out, and it really, really breaks the day up. That being said, it drives my mum nuts.
Can't please everyone.
Yeah, he's going to go on the turbo on Christmas morning when there's turkeys cooking and things like that. But in general, I would say the key with running over the winter time is you want to get back from your run not injured. And it's as simple as that. You don't want to be thinking about doing too much speed work. You don't want to think about doing hill work unless you're sure that you're not going to injure yourself by doing it. And if it's cold, that's when we're going to have the dangers of getting ourselves injured. So a tiny niggle this time of year in the hamstring or in the thighs can really, really set you up for, you know, some pain for the next couple of months. So I think if you can get out, get outside, but go with some easy running rather than anything hard.
Don't do cross country then. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun, but you're talking to a boy who did cross country for like 9 years between the ages of 11 to 19. And people keep asking me, come on, come and run for the club at Christmas. It's just not going to happen for me, I'm afraid, Helen.
Okay, what about swimming then, Rob? This time of year, especially over the Christmas holidays, either you end up with loads of kids in the pool, so it's difficult to, you know, get a little bit of lane space, or half the places are closed because it's the holidays. So what top tips for swimming, and what happens if you can't get to a pool?
Well, you're being too modest here, because I know that you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get to the pool as soon as it opens. So that's the first thing, isn't it? You've either got to swim early or you've got to swim late. The one thing I would say about swimming is it's better to swim for 10 or 15 minutes than not to swim at all. Even if you can jump in and just do some drills and a couple of fast 25s, that's going to keep your feel for the water going, even if you can't get a proper session done. And I know it's a bone of contention. There's a lot of coaches don't agree with me on this, but even just getting in for that really short period of time helps you maintain some kind of feel for the water. So I would just say, look, even if you're just passing by the leisure centre, have your kit in the car this time of year, stop in, jump in for 15 or 20 minutes, and Bob's your uncle. You can get back into the routine after Christmas or New Year, and you haven't lost too much, really.
I like that thinking. I do like that thinking. It's optimistic thinking. It's positive. What about food? That's a really difficult thing this time of the year. There's lots of drinks on offer. There's, you know, the massive calorific yumminess of Christmas Day and Boxing Day and every other day pretty much between, you know, today and January the 2nd or 3rd. What would you suggest? Blowout, don't worry.
I think it's got to be down to an individual. If you're the kind of person who eats really strictly for the rest of the year, then what's the harm in having a bit of downtime over Christmas and enjoying some of the foods that you don't usually eat? I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. If, however, you're the kind of person that struggles with your diet at the best of times, Christmas can be a difficult and deadly time of the year for the next month for you, can't it? Because if you end up putting on a stone over the Christmas period, it's just going to be misery through January. So a couple of easy things that you can do, I think, is firstly, just limit yourself on the really simple sugars that are lying around. Don't have sweets out on a plate around the house, because that's just going to put temptation in your way, isn't it? You can try and avoid the really energy-dense foods. And at Christmas here, we're talking about pies.
They're so good.
They're so good. I am a pie fiend at Christmas. Those mince pies come out and I'm done for. But I don't think there's a better combination than pastry and sugar for putting that little winter tie around the middle of it. So I'm going to be on a strict one mince pie a day ration, I think, this year. And just try to get a little bit of training done every day. You've got a bit more time off, so roll into your running kit first thing in the morning and try and get a little bit done, I think. It's just common sense, isn't it?
I guess so. You just got to stick with it and don't worry too much if it's, you know, if you don't quite do what you think you're meant to do, and just properly get back on it on January the 1st. Anyway, Rob, some really, really good tips there. I think they're really, really useful. And I imagine that Ellie Hairsign will be training hard over Christmas because she's got Ironman South Africa at the end of March coming up. But you've been speaking with her, haven't you? So why don't we listen to what she...
Ali Hairsine, welcome to the Cup of Tri Triathlon podcast. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. I've just been for a swim analysis with Coach Hamish. So I've had a good training session and learnt quite a lot of new things to work on.
Fantastic. We're sitting in the camper van outside the centre here. We've just done about 15 minutes of recording, which we found that I've bodged up totally, so that hasn't worked. So we're going to try again for a second shot. So for our listeners then, tell us a little bit about yourself, people who haven't heard of you yet. Tell them who you are and what your notable results are this year.
So my name's Ellie and I race for Talk Tri Team. I'm based up in Knaresborough near Harrogate in Yorkshire, at the one of the key places for triathlon in the UK. I've been racing for about 10 or so years, and probably a bit more seriously for the last few years. Been trying to race in the pro category the last year or two, and this year took my first Ironman. So I went off to Lanzarote for the first one in May and enjoyed that. So I thought, oh, I could do another one this year. So I went off to Challenge Weymouth in September. It was a good pro field, 7 women from all around the world. And amazingly, I managed to win it.
Crushed it. So second Ironman, then you get the victory. That's got to be pretty pleasing for you.
Yeah.
How did it feel winning an Ironman? Because that's a big deal. Challenge Weymouth is a big race.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I was quite emotional crossing the line. There's some of the finish line videos, and you can see me sort of half between grinning from ear to ear and half about to kind of start blubbering.
Bless.
it felt pretty good, and particularly because my parents had come down to watch, and as my dad has already said to me, oh, I hope that's not the last one you win, but you'll not win the first one again. So to share that with them was pretty special.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. And how did the race pan out for you? Because I believe it was pretty rough on race day. The sea was pretty hairy, wasn't it?
Yep, the sea was quite choppy. All the Hoob boys had been blown in overnight, so they had to spend a bit of time resetting the course. They decided to change it to a half-distance swim. Which I was a bit disappointed about from my own performance point of view, just because I'd hoped to shake off a few of the runners. But you have to just, you know, deal with what happens on the day. And actually, I had quite a good swim. There was quite a current that pushed you sideways along the beach. So I managed to, it was a 2-lap swim. And the first one, I drifted a bit wide like everybody did. But luckily not quite as badly as some people, run back along the beach and then back in. So I came out with quite a good swim overall, which set me up on the bike. I think I was second out onto the bike.
Fantastic, yeah.
And so it's because it was my second one, I was still very much of the view, you know, stick to your own plan. I had a plan, and I was too afraid to veer from that plan to try and do anything too stupid, but I think that really worked in my favour. I was caught by my friend in Harrogate, Caroline Livesey, on the bike, and she kind of went off ahead, and but after the first lap I could see ahead the German girl who was in the lead, Mickey. So on the second lap I felt really good, but I just kept my plan, overtook her, and actually managed to overtake Caroline again, which kind of surprised me. So I came off the bike in the lead, which in itself felt quite bizarre. But I thought, well, no matter what happens on the run, at least I've set myself up for the best race that I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then again, I just raced with a really basic heart rate monitor and just stuck to it like glue. And on it's an out and back course, I could see them coming, and you think, you convince yourself they look like they're running better than how you feel you are, but I just kept trucking along basically, and they'd closed the gap. It was a 4-lap course. By the third lap, Joanna Carrot had got the gap down to less than 2 minutes.
How much did you have off the bike?
I think 3 minutes to start with, Joanna had come through from a few places back, so she'd made quite a lot of ground in the first half of the run. And then onto the last lap, my dad was there with taking all the times and shouting things at me, like I told him to. And I'd grown the gap to 4 minutes after the third lap. Couldn't hardly really believe it, and then didn't dare think about winning until I got near the finish, because you thought, oh, you still got 10k to go. Just it's not.
And you managed to hold it together on the run and take the win.
Yeah, I couldn't. It sounds ridiculous, and I know Lucy Gossage has said this before, winning, I think, Ironman UK. You sort of can't believe how it could be so easy, how doing an Ironman could be so easy, never mind winning one. But I think when it goes perfectly to plan, no gastro issues, no mechanical dramas, it just seems a bit surreal.
Yeah, because I know you raced at Lanzarote, didn't you? Your first race
in
the pro category, you raced Lanzarote and finished 10th pro.
Yeah, that's right. 13th overall.
13th overall, but we don't count those, do we? Those cheeky age groupers. And you had some GI distress during that race. So what did you do differently at Weymouth?
I stuck to much less solid food. I'd been eating, I thought, because it was much longer than a half, I thought, have a bit more solid food on the bike. I was, you know, worried about getting sick of gels, but so I'd had some of my torque bars on the bike, but I think for me that just doesn't work. I need to stick to the gels and the energy drink.
And can you remember sort of roughly, for the people listening at home, what was your sort of energy intake on the bike? How many gels were you taking an hour and things like that?
I tried to work to the 60 grams of carb per kilo, and I'm about 60 kilos, so one gel I think is 30 grams, so I just kind of do the sums of how long I think I'm going to be out there, and the torque system makes it quite easy to work out what you need, because everything's sort of measured out into those units that makes it quite easy to do the maths.
Brilliant. And it sounds great that you've got a sponsor that you really get on with the product. It's obviously, you really believe in the product that they produce, and it's really working for you. Now you've got your system sorted.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always quite liked the Torque products, and I'm very lucky to be part of their team. And anyone that knows me will know that I can bleat on about rhubarb and custard gels till the cows come home, because I like those boiled sweeties.
And then to end the season off, you went down to Ironman Barcelona, is that
I
right?
I did, yes. It was a bit of a last-minute decision, and it seemed a bit crazy to me to try and do another Ironman only 3 weeks after doing Weymouth. But I'd kind of got my head around the idea of starting to think about Kona and 2015 possibly. So I thought I'd wing it and just see if I could give myself a chance to try and start getting some points. It was quite good going out there, because I didn't have sort of too high expectations of myself. I thought, well, it's only 3 weeks after Weymouth, you just don't know how you're going to feel. You could be there with a good chance, depending on the day. It was a completely different type of event. Ironman have taken over that race now from Challenge, and I think really most people that were there would agree there was just too many people. They let too many people enter, and the bike course just can't accommodate those numbers, so drafting was quite a big issue. The draft busters were out in force, but they couldn't really completely break groups up. They just tried to spread them out a bit, and obviously if you're there in pro women category, they've got an eagle eye on you to make sure you're not just getting swept along by the fast age group men.
And how was that as an experience for someone racing as a pro woman? How many packs were kind of swamping around you, and was it just a hideous nightmare?
The packs were just never ending. You pack one would come through, you try to open your 10 meter gap. If you're essentially in the middle of that pack and you open 10 meters up, somebody would just come past you and fill that space. So you try to kind of let them come through, get to the back so that you could control your gap and have 10 metres. And then it wouldn't be that long before another group would come by. So there wasn't any point getting stressed about it. That was how it was. You just had to manage it as best as you could, really.
Yeah.
But it did mean that, unfortunately, there was some... all the girls I saw were doing the best they could to race fairly, but inevitably they've gained some advantage. And the girls that I dropped in the first hour before we got caught by any age group men, they soon got caught back to me.
You get the feeling they got dragged back up to you by the age group packs.
It does change the dynamic of the race. I don't want to make excuses about, you know, the overall result because of that, but it did make me just realise that sort of course isn't for me.
Yeah.
I need the bike course to be much tougher, flat and fast, and, you know, the risk of sort of drafting issues is not a course I particularly want to race on. So now I'm looking for all the lumpy courses.
Yeah. Have you been to check out the Bolton course while you've been up this way?
No, not yet, but it is on my list. So
that's the course for you right there. There's not a single metre of flat on that whole course.
Well, that sounds ideal, and I'll certainly be acclimatised living just the other side of the Pennines.
Yeah, even the potholes are uphill.
Yeah, that's true. Although it's probably a bit drier on the east side of the Pennines.
Yeah, possibly. So how did the overall result end up at Barcelona then? Where did you finish and what were your splits and times and things?
Well, I managed to come in just over 9.5 hours, which, you know, was above and beyond where I could have hoped to be at the start of the year. And on a bad day, I ran 3.5 hour marathon. So I was really pleased with that. I don't know if it was sort of lots of little things, I think, that added up. I kind of lost 10 minutes that I think I could have got on that run. I just seemed to be, my heart rate was dropping and dropping, and I just couldn't seem to pick it up in the middle of the run. So unfortunately, that 10 minutes cost me 8 places. So I finished in 14th position. And I guess I could have been 6th had I had that lovely 10 minutes extra. Bit of prize money and a few more points. So as it is, I've only acquired myself a whopping 40 points.
So 10 minutes, the difference between getting paid and getting points and getting nothing for your trouble.
Yeah. So, but interestingly, I think for me, it was really worth doing. Weymouth was almost seemed too good to be true and too easy. And I actually learned a lot more from Barcelona about the course, about race dynamics, about strategy, about kind of dealing with the repercussions of, you know, maybe spiky efforts on the bike and missing an aid station to try and clear a pack and getting a little bit dehydrated, perhaps. You know, all these little things just add up, and that's perhaps what cost me that 10 minutes on the run. So for me, a really worthwhile experience, and I can take that experience forward next year.
Nice. And do you ride with power?
Not so far in a race. I've had a training wheel I've used at home on the turbo, and I had been training out on the road in the summer with that as well, but in races so far I haven't, but I have now acquired myself a pair of Vectors.
Nice.
So there'll be no going back. I shall be a slave to the power meter, I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out and whether it helps you or whether, like you said, the dynamics of racing amongst age group men for you just make it more of a race than a...
Yeah.
Sounds like Weymouth, when you're out on your own, really suits your style of riding.
Yeah, I think I quite like sort of the dynamics of racing. When I did the London ITU World Champs, the age group race, and that, because it was quite a stoppy-starty course, you know, lots of roundabouts, dead turns, And I really enjoyed that, and I think I'm pretty good at racing by feel. I'm quite dialed in to, you know, I've always just had a basic heart rate monitor for on race day, and I'm quite good at going by feel. So I really hope the power will be useful to help me keep a gauge. You know, maybe in Barcelona I had some power spikes, sort of because of the group dynamics that, you know, maybe I could manage a bit better if I had access to power in that kind of race, but I think ultimately I don't see me being a complete slave to the numbers, because in the end I do trust my feel pretty well.
Okay, now so what's next for next year then? What's the big plan? You said you mentioned thinking about Kona. What's the plan building up to that for next year then?
Well, obviously, having not already been to Kona, where the points weighting is a lot greater if you've had a good result there, and you can use those points for next year. So I'm pretty much starting from a clean slate, which is no easy task. So I'm going to give it a go, come up with a race strategy. You can use up to 5 races, 3 of which can be full distance. So we'll just probably see how that goes until the end of June. If I'm absolutely miles from making it for 2015, then I may kind of cut my losses there, regroup, and have a 2016 strategy with autumn racing plan. But for now, my first definite race will be Ironman South Africa. I know there's quite a few British girls planning to go out there. I think Lucy Gossage and Amy Forshaw will also plan to be there, possibly Susie Hignett as well.
Okay.
So it's now a championship race. It's 4,000 point race, not 2,000 points. So the points are up for grabs. I was looking at Ironman Taiwan, which is a couple of weeks later. But I looked and thought, well, you have to podium at Taiwan is the same kind of points as seventh in South Africa. So I think got to go for the big
race. Yeah, it's become very tactical, chasing where the points are
absolutely,
for you, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And picking races that work to your strengths. So I think from what I've gathered about South Africa, it's a rolling bike course, or hopefully rolling and windy enough that it plays to my strengths.
Yeah,
hopefully.
You can do some damage there, basically. Yeah. So you still work part-time.
That's right.
How does your typical training week play out? Tell the listeners what kind of weekly hours you're putting in and how you manage to fit it in around work.
Yeah, so I'm not a mega hours training person. I'd say 20 hours is a big week for me. Sort of 14, 15 is more normal. So I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which means I've then got a four-day block, a long weekend, to kind of get the bigger volume things in. So I work in Leeds, so I've got a sort of 45-minute commute each way. I try and do a day a week at home just to kind of cut back on the commuting time. So one of those 3 days will be a rest day, so only a swim. Whereas the other days I will try and get two sessions done, but I'll try and keep them quite short sessions. So, for example, a 45-minute run with intervals. My office is quite close to the canal in Leeds, which is quite good for doing reps up and down them. And then sort of, Friday through to Monday, I tend to get a couple more swims in early in the morning in Harrogate. And then out on the bike, sort of, I do quite a lot of bricks, really. I've never been a natural runner, so people say, oh, I wonder how fast you could run a half marathon fresh or a marathon. I don't think it'd be that different for me. And partly that's because I do just run off the bike most of the time, even if it's just 5 minutes. But we're starting to add some longer kind of 90-minute rides, one-hour runs, starting to creep into the programme.
Nice.
Ironman South Africa seems like a long way off because you think, oh, it's next year, but it's actually the end of March and I'm sure it's less than 15 weeks or something already. So I'm sure straight after Christmas I'm going to start needing to ramp the bike volume up.
It's a pretty brutal time of year to be training, isn't it, through the British winter to try and get in shape for an Ironman at the end of March. I suppose you'll have 4 weeks or so of nice weather in March, won't you? But you've got to get some hard work done all the way through the winter.
Absolutely, but I've always kind of had a good early season race in me. The last few years I've always done a half Ironman or middle distance type race in Spain. There's various ones. There's Lisbon and Portugal and Marbella, the ICANN races and Alicante. So I seem to have quite a good first race. I don't mind kind of plugging through the winter. I've got a training trip planned in January. I have 10 days out in Tenerife, which I haven't been to before, with Joe Skipper. He's been training out there before, so he's got all sorts of crazy plans, like he'll reps up some big mountain called Tidy or something.
Yeah, you'll love that.
Yeah, and 50-metre pool in the town, which sounds great. So hopefully that will give me the opportunity to get some big bike miles in.
Fantastic. All right, so listen, just before we finish, you've obviously got some people who've helped you out sponsor-wise. Apart from Talk, who do you want to give a shout-out to?
I would like to give a shout-out to some of the local guys that look after me. So my local bike shop in Ripon, Moonglee, they've taken care of all my sort of bike build and servicing. I love my Vilio bike, but they are like a little kind of rocket spaceship type thing, and quite quirky to kind of work with, I'm sure. So they've been very good looking after me. Also the chiropractor, Woodland Chiropractic, who kind of keep my body in working order, and Brody's Skincare. They do some really nice moisturisers for all us sporty people.
Nice.
Especially when you're in the pool 5 times a week.
I can see Ellie looking at my crusty face because I've had a cold all week. I've got a flaking nose. My lips are hanging off. So I might have to hit you up for some free of that. Yeah, definitely.
Skin cream, absolutely. Yeah, there's a few other guys. I'm going to feel really bad now if I forget them all. But Profeet in London, they look after me with some orthotics. And who else should I be thanking? This is terrible.
We can edit it in later if you remember anymore. Oh, it's good. You've got, it sounds like you've got a real good crew behind you, and that's the way. And yeah. Your coach, who works with you coaching-wise?
Yeah, a chap called John Lunn. He's up in Stirling Tri Club, so I've known him for, he's been coaching me for 5 years now. He was recommended to me by a friend. He works in Sports Scotland and does coaching for a bit of a hobby on the side. But you know, we've got a fantastic relationship. It works even though I'm sort of remote from Scotland now. You know, we have a lot of phone calls and text messages, and he reads pretty well how I'm responding to training, and we kind of adapt things as we need. So
yeah,
he keeps me right.
Good. Hey, well, listen, thanks very much for coming on the show and taking the time. We really appreciate it, and we wish you all the best for next season. And hopefully this will be the start of your Kona qualifying year.
I hope so. Well, thanks very much for having me. I look forward to hearing more podcasts.
All right. We'll see you soon. Bye now.
Thank you.
So there we are. That was Ellie Hairsine chatting to us this morning. Great triathlete, great girl, really good fun. Watching her swim analysis was great because you could tell how much she was enjoying it. And I think she'd even got in and done a 3K swim set this morning before she even had the video analysis done. So she's a seriously hard worker. And I really hope that she gets some success next year, because it's great to see people who've grafted for years climbing the ranks and doing well, isn't it?
I'm sure she will have a really, really good year in 2015. Yeah, I agree with the hard work. It shows that. It's a bit like Nikki Bartlett as well, who we heard from last week. You know, you put in the hard work, it pays off one day. One day it will pay off. So it's brilliant to see. So really, really good luck to Ellie as she goes to South Africa for Ironman South Africa.
Well, that just about brings us to the end of our show for this week. What have you got going on for the rest of the week? What have you got planned for the last few days before Christmas, Helen?
Oh, it's going to be packing up, because we are going to be moving just after Christmas. So that's going to be fun. Last minute present stress, I imagine. And on Boxing Day, I'm going to be running around the walls of Chester. I can't wait for that. I've done it for quite a few years now. The Chester Around the Walls race. Really good atmosphere, and you get a mince pie at the end of it all.
Oh, that sounds fantastic, yeah. You'll have to take your little iPhone with you and see if you can get an interview from somebody while you're there. On the spot, running interview.
I will see. What makes someone get out of bed on Boxing Day and run about 5 miles in the grey and the drizzle? Yep.
Oh, an inspiration, Helen. You're an inspiration in a way that I'm simply not.
I don't think so.
Not yet. My mum, my dad, my mother-in-law coming over for Christmas Day. We're catering for the whole family this year. It should be good fun.
How big's the turkey?
Oh, no, you're asking the wrong person.
It's a big beast.
It's a big beast.
Will it fit in the oven?
It'll fit in the oven, hopefully.
There you go. You're laughing. Plenty of protein left over. You'll be sorted.
And we're going to have carols around the tree as well on Christmas Eve. Here in Lim, they've got a Dickensian Christmas thing going on where they have carols around the tree in the little village centre. So we're going to have a little bit of British small town life there.
Aww.
So really looking forward to that. It'll be kind of magical for the little man. Because it's the first time Christmas has really meant anything to him, I think, at 3 years old.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. Well, enjoy Christmas, Rob, and everyone else. Have a really, really good Christmas. And we will be back after Christmas with a little bit of inspiration for you. So listen out for episode 3 of A Cup of Triathlon podcast.